Have you ever been in a conversation with a person who completely contradicts themselves? Let's talk about how we can respond. Come debrief with us. Hey, I'm Lexi, and joining me as always is Seth and Ethan, and we're debriefing pro-life outreach. Ethan, give us an outreach highlight from last week.
Getting to do high school outreach in Columbus again. I've gotten to do it in Michigan and Chicago while I've been here for the gap year, but haven't gotten to do it in Columbus yet. And so we did that a few days ago, and I really enjoyed it. I forgot how much I enjoyed talking to high school students.
How does it compare to Michigan and Chicago, Ethan? Like, any difference in culture?
Yeah, way more chill. Michigan.
Yeah.
Chicago students.
You can bag on Michigan for a bit. That's okay.
Yeah, the Michigan students were terrible. No, the Chicago students especially were very hyper and opinionated and like to shout and yell. And I appreciate the Columbus students being willing to actually engage in a conversation, which I enjoy engaging in a fruitful conversation.
So shout out to all of our Columbus high schoolers here,
yeah,
right?
Yep, you guys are great. You just need to change your opinion on abortion.
Well, one high school student at a time, yeah. Right? And I was on the Michigan one. They weren't too bad there. They were real nice. It was just like, not that many conversations, I feel like. But that's high school to high school. Honestly, Everybody who's gone on a high school outreach, it's vastly is a different experience depending on where you are, what the culture's like at that high school and stuff like that. But I'm glad that you enjoy Columbus high school outreaches because you're going to be going on a lot of them. So that's nice. Your hometown outreach. Anyways, we have not a high school outreach to discuss today, but rather a college outreach to discuss and a Kent State University college outreach. And so this was back in April of this year. And this is going to be a conversation actually that Seth had with two girls, one of which was kind of the one that was like mainly talking to you. And then another girl who kind of jumped in later on in the conversation, but she was kind of very abrupt and really was just, you would ask her a question basically, and she would ask the question back to you and not want to answer it. So it was like kind of funny.
That style.
Yep. But let's just jump into the first clip. There are two clips for this. Okay. So jump into the first one and we can discuss.
Killing by dead people. I think it's pretty gross.
They're dead fetuses. They weren't like.
What do you mean by fetus?
Fetus? What do you mean by fetus?
Fetus, there are canine fetuses, feline fetuses. This is a human fetus. So it's a young human being.
Oh, so it was born. Like,
no, you don't have to be born to be human. No.
You don't have to be born to be human.
No, because with a baby, the womb is a human being, just like you and me, just a lot younger in a different environment than us.
A fetus is sentient?
Well, no, a fetus is eventually sentient. In about the 20s or 30s weeks, the baby can feel through her senses. She's not self-aware.
Right.
But why does sentience matter?
Okay, so I remember this conversation, actually, because I saw this girl standing by a picture of a dead baby, doing a peace sign, having her friend take a photo of her. I was pretty disgusted by that. That's what started the conversation. I mean, I don't know if Lexi and Ethan, if you've ever seen, this is years ago, but there was a thing called YOLOcost. Do you remember the YOLOcost thing? So there were like people taking pictures at memorials of Jewish people who died, like smiling, jumping off the memorials and stuff. And some guy took those photos, superimposed them acting terribly at these places of historical significance, and superimposing them next to actual dead bodies of Jewish people, called it YOLOcost, to mock them for being so disgusting. So I thought it was the same thing. So I walked up and said, like, why are you doing this?
And that got her attention, and she decided to engage in a kind of long conversation with you. But yes, if you noticed right away, she was just really didn't seem like she's very confident in her understanding of her position. So her tactic was just repeat the questions you were already asking.
It sounds great tactic, right?
Yeah, honestly, if she were to answer the question and then ask you the question back, that would probably been a nicer way to have a conversation. Yeah. But she did get her point across that she didn't really know exactly what she was talking about. Anyway, she started out by saying that the photos that she was taking pictures in front of were not photos of human beings. And so you pushed back on that and were claiming, yes, they are human. She was like, they're not human. They're not born yet. And so you asked her, what kind of fetus is that? Because she understood they were a fetus. Unfortunately, I don't think she understood that a fetus isn't a separate species. I feel like some people, I want to get y'all's opinion on this. I feel like some people think the word fetus is like a term like human.
Or a kind of thing.
A kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
A species. Mm-hmm. Totally. Absolutely. That's why this is the in my opinion, so now everyone's talking about, and rightfully so, what is a woman? The unanswerable mm-hmm. question in culture. What kind of embryo is, in my opinion, the unanswerable question for pro-abortion people. They refuse to say the kind, or they will admit it eventually, but they're very slow to. When you ask what kind of embryo, they just struggle, because you're exactly right, Lexi. They assume embryo is a kind, but it's not a kind at all. The descriptor, descriptive term for stage of development of a kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so whenever people don't quite understand that, you explained it to her. Okay. There's a dog fetus, a cat fetus. This is a human fetus. Right. So that could.
This is not groundbreaking science. This is simple science.
No. But then she pushed back and said, well, hey, they're not human. They're not born yet. And guess what? They're also not sentient. How do you say it, Seth?
See, she said sentient, and I used to say sentience. I believe it's sentience, which is a very small difference. Who cares, right? So the point is, it's you see the root word is senses. You're sensing there. So it's feeling through your senses. So, Ethan, you've probably run into this. I hear people say the baby is a human or a person when she is sentient, or some say self-awareness. They're not the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Self-awareness is I'm aware I exist, the world exists around me. Sentience merely means I feel through my senses, taste, touch, smell, so on. So the baby does feel things during pregnancy. She's not self-aware till later on. Have you guys encountered this like confusion in these two terms bounded about?
I actually have never paid attention to that before. I'm glad you brought that up, because that is something I should be aware of, because I have heard people use the term interchangeably, mm-hmm. and I have just never thought mm-hmm. about, oh, I should actually bring up that those are two different things, because I think that's a good point with sentience.
Yes, that's fine. I'm probably wrong. Go for it.
Sentience.
No, I don't think you're wrong. But
or sentience, whichever one it is.
I've heard it both ways.
Yeah, that is actually human embryos and human fetuses are actually sentient in their own way, because they are interacting with their environment. Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. I've never thought of that.
Well,
there's
a recent video that we did a reel of, Lexi, right? Of the baby tasting the mom's food. What was it? What show had that on?
The Today Show.
So we'll drop it in the show notes, but you can watch the baby smiling with carrots and frowning with kale, I think it was, right?
Right, yeah.
Or not frowning, but like its face like puckers
bitter,
or something.
Yeah,
so clearly baby is feeling something.
Yes, definitely.
But that's not self-awareness. I think the confusion is partially because self-awareness is more subjective. We don't really know. There's dispute about when you're really self-aware. What does it mean to be aware? That's confusing.
Yeah.
Feeling through senses is pretty objective. So mm-hmm. we know when that kind of begins.
Mm-hmm. And with that being said, I want to go into the next clip, because this theme continues, but you're going to hear in this audio a friend of this girl jump in as well. So you'll hear another girl voice.
Or adopt, right? We disagree on that. But here's where we can agree. You should not kill a homosexual because of his homosexuality or her homosexuality, right? You don't kill people for something about them. But you and I disagree on that here, because it's not these babies' fault. They're too young to be born. It's not their fault. And yet you say kill them.
They do not care.
How do you know that?
I know that it's not sentient. Yes.
Well, sentience is not self-awareness.
They don't have brain activity.
Self-awareness.
That's how sentience is self-awareness?
No, but you're saying they don't care. You say don't care. That's self-awareness.
No, sentience is having an ability to feel emotions and consciousness.
No, sentience is really feeling through your senses. Sight, taste, touch, smell. That's what sentience is.
Self-awareness.
That's later. That comes after birth.
So.
Well after birth.
They don't have self-awareness.
Not till well after birth months.
But they also don't have sentience.
They do in pregnancy have sentience. They don't have self-awareness. So which one really matters to you? Self-awareness or sentience? I want to hear her answer.
I know. Wait, what's her answer?
I don't remember what her answer was. I think, honestly, if I remember correctly, she kind of struggled. Because, again, they're confusing these terms. And I find, I'd love to hear what you guys say about this, but mm-hmm. If I want to ask someone, okay, you're saying two things. Like, they may say viability, self-awareness. Here it was sentience, self-awareness. I say pick one.
Mm-hmm.
And they still refuse to pick one.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I think she would feel really awkward about picking self-awareness, because now she's going to have to admit that her initial opinion going in was wrong, and that her initial opinion, if she really believed that it was sentience that made you valuable, that she would have to oppose abortion because it would actually kill people with sentience. So she would have to completely backpedal and then jump to another thing. I found it was so interesting. I listened to this clip a few times, y'all, and I missed on the first time. The second time I caught it, she said, you pushed back and you said, well, hey, sentience and self-awareness are not the same thing. And she said, when did I say sentience was self-awareness? And then as you were unraveling it for her, explaining to her what sentience is, she then said, yes, self-awareness. It's just she admitted again that sentience is self-awareness. And I was just, I don't know if you could track with what I just tried to say, but basically she contradicted herself within a 30-second span of time because she didn't want to give up the ground of saying that sentience and self-awareness are two different things.
Yeah, well, I think it's a very painful dilemma for them, right? Because if they say, yes, sentience is it, then like you said, Lexi, they must oppose some abortions, right? After the baby can feel through her senses. If they say, no, it's really self-awareness, yeah, they have to accept infanticide, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a painful dilemma for the pro-abortion mm-hmm. person.
Well, and Ethan, I have a question to ask you because mm-hmm. I think this is a prime example of somebody in a conversation who is debating you, and they're not even necessarily mm-hmm. debating you because they believe the arguments that they're giving you, but just because they know their end goal, they want abortion, and they're going to kind of use whatever phrases that they've heard from others.
Yeah.
So you're not even necessarily debating on like an intellectual level. You're just really debating, I'm against abortion, you're for abortion. You're going to use all of these fake opinions that you don't right. actually hold to. How do you break through that? Because I think like Seth even did, explain to her, hey, you're wrong in this area mm-hmm. in a very kind way. Those two things don't add up of what you're saying. That wasn't enough for her.
Yeah.
So how do you kind of overcome that?
Yeah, because at a certain point, you're just debating slogans. That's just what they're throwing at you. It's sure. not an intellectual argument, like you said. And for someone who goes into the conversation like that, saying, well, I'm just going to throw slogans at them, I'm not actually going to engage with ideas intellectually, I think it can be really hard to break through to that person and actually get them to think about what they're saying. But I think if you make it personal enough, sometimes people will stop and actually think about what's coming out of their mouth. And go, hang on, do I actually believe what I just said? Because mm-hmm. they're thinking about it and they're like, that actually sounds really stupid when I say it out loud. Mm-hmm. I had a student say this to me on Purdue University, the Fort Wayne Purdue University mm-hmm. campus. I talked to him about abortion. He was making terrible arguments that did not make any sense. And an hour later, he came back to me and said, I could not stop thinking about our conversation. And he said, because I realized that I was making horrible arguments for abortion.
Wow.
Now he came back and tried to make another argument for abortion, which I was like, this is not getting you any farther than your other arguments were. Aww, but he yeah. recognized that the arguments he were making were really, really dumb.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think when people go away from a conversation and have time to think about it, that's when they start to realize, I didn't actually make any arguments. I was just yelling mm-hmm. Jargon and words mm-hmm. at them. And so they may not come back and talk to you like this young gentleman did with me, but they're going to have something to think about later and have to really grapple with their own ideas.
Wow.
That's so true. And I mean, I think we even experienced that, right? When you get out of the conversation, you yeah. play back the audio from Kent State when I was there and I think, oh, why'd I say that, right? So you right, kind of yeah. you reflect later and think about it honestly. In the heat of the moment, it's hard to really honestly process information. And so these people we're interacting with, many of them, I mean, was Otterbein just a week ago, I had several students keep saying to me, well, you guys have planned this out. You know what you're going to say. You know your arguments. We haven't thought about it that right. much, which, okay, if you're pro-abortion, you probably have thought about it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you're realizing you've not thought well about it. But still, they come to us not planning for a conversation. So it's hard for them to really stop, pause, and consider. That guy going back, coming yeah. back to you, it's much more healthy way for him to process through, I think, the conversation.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so you can even do that in your own conversation, kind of put a pause on
That's
it
good.
And say, okay, well, let's just think through what you just said. Maybe re-explain their position, re-explain your position in a very simple way. Just think about that for a moment. I mean, we're in conversations all the time where the person we're talking to is literally just sitting there in silence, just thinking for a few yeah. minutes. I've had to stand there and stare at people like, you know, they're like yep. probably looking down at the floor. And I mean, I'm not just like staring at them creepily, but when I'm just like, you know, letting them process and
the wheels are
through,
turning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's completely fine. It's unnatural in conversations to have
it's
dead
horrible.
Air, especially yeah.
but it's
with
important.
Strangers. Yeah. But yes, it is definitely important. So create that pause if you mm-hmm. can.
Mm-hmm. And bite your tongue. That's so hard, right? Because yeah. I want to fill that space, but then it takes them out of their processing mm-hmm. moment. So that's critical.
The more you can stop talking, the better. And the more concise you can be in your responses, the better, I think.
Yeah.
Even though we love to hear ourselves talk, don't we all?
So, Lexi, I'm curious. So you chose this clip, right? So one thing in there she kept hitting on, this is why I think for her, really self-awareness is what matters. Because yeah. she later mm-hmm. said consciousness and just kept saying, they don't care. Like, why yes. do you think that's important to her? Why is she bringing that up?
I think because she knows that she cares if she's pregnant. She doesn't want to have this baby, but they're not even aware of what's going on. They don't care. They can die. She doesn't understand that just because somebody doesn't know what's happening doesn't mean that they're not valuable, because she doesn't understand that every single human being has value. And she doesn't care about human beings, really all human beings, right? Maybe some that are like her, other women who are in tough circumstances. But she doesn't care about killing people who don't care that they're being killed. Also, I think it goes back to this whole thing of consent, and this baby can't consent to anything, but that's fine because they can't consent because they don't even know what's going on. But if they could consent, then would she have the right to murder them? I think at that point she would say no, but because they can't even consent. But I feel like that kind of flies in the face with the whole consent movement, is if you can't consent to something, then you can't let that happen to you.
That's a good point. But I do think you're right, though. They kind of assume, like, if you're incapable of consenting, someone must decide for you. You're right. It doesn't work well with, like, those who are saying you have to ask your baby for consent to change his diaper and stuff like that, right? Which is kind of silly. But so it is inconsistent. But we know there's inconsistency when there are worldviews which do not align with reality. There's going to be inconsistency there. I think you're right. At the bedrock, she probably has this view that consent matters. And consent is important, but it's not this ultimate thing that many believe. Right. You run into that, Ethan?
As far as consent?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. A lot of people will, you know, what about the woman's choice? Shouldn't her choice have ultimate precedence in this decision? And I always just like to flip it back on them and say, well, what about the baby's choice? The baby didn't choose to die. And generally, people will then stop using that line of reasoning, because a lot of people will recognize, oh, you're right, the baby didn't choose to die in this situation. And so they sort of abandon that. You do have people who hang on to it for dear life for as long as they can, but it is definitely not an argument that can sustain itself.
It's a good point. And just to come back full circle, Lexi, I think it's interesting when people assume consent, whether or not we agree that consent is ultimate,
right?
Why should we value the consent of anyone? Because of the kind of beings they are, right? That's why consent matters on some level. We all recognize what matters really is that we are human beings, and that's why our opinions do matter and are important. So it's all back to the kind of thing we are, which is human beings.
Yeah.
So if you ever find yourself in a conversation where people are constantly contradicting themselves, make sure you pause the conversation if you can, re-explain things back to them, and hold on to the truth throughout the entire thing. And don't be too nervous about offending. If you heard Seth, he was very straight with what he was saying, but she was listening at some level, so that was really awesome. But thank you all for listening to today's show. Please go leave us a 5-star review so that more people can listen to this podcast. That's all we have for you this week. And as always, thank you for debriefing with us.